Before Jesus rode into Jerusalem, he had his disciples run a few errands for him. They went into the village and took an unridden colt. They insinuated to the owner of the colt that it was for Pilate. They brought the colt to Jesus. Then they cheered for Jesus as he rode into town, shouting, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." The disciples' job. Jesus had his job. Pilate and all the Roman soldiers marched into town too. They marched from the other side of town. They rode big horses. The people were required to shout something like, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord," as they marched into town as warriors to keep the peace. And Jesus rode into town on the other side on this subversive and really satirical ride, not on a war horse, but on a donkey colt. Not from the main gate, but from another one, from another side of town. The people shouting, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord," and "Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven," made a mockery of the Roman authority. That was what was supposed to be said about Pilate or Herod or some Roman authority as they came into town. When the religious leaders got worried that the Jesus parade was going to overshadow Pilate's parade, they told everyone to quiet down. And that made the people cheer even louder, of course. And that's where Jesus said, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." So in a nutshell, God's plan turned things upside down. God's plan went against the conventional wisdom. God's plan always turns things upside down and goes against conventional wisdom. It's the story of Palm Sunday, except there is something in this story that bothers me, and I insinuated a bit about it. We celebrate this day. It's a gigantic day in the story of our faith, and Jesus came to town in peace and humility on a stolen colt. And we don't like to talk about that, and we want to brush over it or explain it. Yes, when he sent the disciples to go to get the colt, he had them say that the Lord needs it. And the owner of the colt would definitely have thought that the disciples meant Pilate or some Roman authority. That's why they could get the colt so easily. So, that's theft by deception. But Jesus is Lord. That's who the colt was for. That's what we want to shout, and that's what a lot of Bible scholars say. That's not what the owner would have thought. The owner would have thought, "I better give this colt, because if I don't, I'm in trouble, because Pilate needs it." Jesus had his disciples steal a donkey colt and rode it into town. Certainly, Jesus wouldn't advocate stealing. That's what we want to say. That's what we do say. But you know what he did? And I wonder how that affects the story. Did the colt get brought back to the owner? Did the owner ever realize that he had been duped? Look, this scene, and also the scene where Jesus gave a racist response to a woman who asked for her daughter to be healed, show just a little bit more of the humanity of Jesus. Even to a smaller extent, when Jesus overturns the tables in the temple, it gives a little picture of the humanity of Jesus. Jesus as a little tired and cranky and saying things he ought not to. Jesus being clever but not outright honest in getting a donkey. Jesus showing his anger by being somewhat violent. Like it or not, Jesus was human. There are things that Jesus did that can make us uncomfortable. Sometimes they make us uncomfortable because we know we ought to be doing them. Sometimes it can make us comfortable because, you know, we probably shouldn't do that. And I wonder how that sits. Here we are in a Christian church. Our theology tells us of the divinity and the humanity of Jesus together, but we would never, ever fathom that Jesus did something untoward or something that we shouldn't do. But there's some examples. So how does that sit, and what do we do now? Do we argue it and say, no, 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 that can't be, that can't be. That's Jesus never did anything like that, except the biblical record tells us that he did. Do we say, ah, well, Jesus wasn't perfect, and we don't have to be either? Or is there something deeper than that? Is there an understanding of Jesus as a human and us not fully understanding all of it, and knowing the difference between doing right and doing wrong? So what are we to do now with a different understanding that we either agree with or disagree with that makes us relieved or angry? Well, we do what we always do as people of the cross, as people of faith, as people who follow Jesus. We journey together with all that makes us comfortable and uncomfortable, and we journey together now into Holy Week. After riding into town, Jesus lamented that Jerusalem didn't know him when he arrived. And then he went to the temple. He got angry. He said it was like a den of thieves, and he flipped over a bunch of tables. And after making religious leaders good and angry so that they'd plot against him, Jesus began to talk and to teach. The religious leaders would question him, and Jesus would tell parables. More questions would come, some of them angry, some of them designed to trip Jesus up. And Jesus kept talking and teaching. He condemned hypocrisy and warned of the tough times ahead. He didn't praise power. He spoke harshly about those who abused power. He spoke compassionately for the poor and the outcast. Then Jesus plotted to betray Jesus. He said it was because, or some say it's because he was just a horrible person. I think that maybe Judas didn't like the whole King of Peace thing. He wanted someone who would be a king of war. He wanted Jesus to be that king. So he forced Jesus to show his warrior self, and it didn't work out that way. The disciples gathered to celebrate Passover with Jesus, the Last Supper. And during the meal, Jesus instituted with them what we still celebrate in Holy Communion. Judas left. Jesus told Peter that Peter would deny him three times before morning. Peter swore it wouldn't happen, and it did. Jesus went to the garden to pray. He prayed that maybe he didn't have to go through this thing that was coming. The waiting disciples fell asleep. Then Judas came to the garden with the religious leaders and the temple guards. Judas kissed Jesus. The guards arrested Jesus. Peter tried to defend Jesus and even cut off the ear of one of the guards. Then Jesus fixed the ear. Then they took Jesus to the home of the high priest, and Peter followed, but when confronted by the people nearby as one of Jesus' followers, he denied it three times. The chief priests and the scribes interrogated Jesus, and they beat him. Pilate interrogated Jesus, saw no reason to hold him, but sent him to Herod at the insistence of the religious leaders. Herod and his soldiers interrogated and mocked Jesus, and then they sent him back to Pilate. Pilate still saw no reason to further hold Jesus. He tried to release him. Instead, the crowd demanded that they release Barabbas, a murderer and an insurrectionist. They made Simon of Cyrene in Africa carry Jesus' cross. Jesus lamented Jerusalem over again. Jesus was crucified with two thieves. The crowd mocked Jesus on the cross. One of the thieves was angry and wanted Jesus to save them. The other asked Jesus to remember him. And Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." It got dark at noon, and the curtain in the temple was torn in two. And Jesus cried out, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And then he died. And we journey together into Holy Week. Amen.